Grace, peace from God our Father, may it be with you, and from Jesus Christ. We shall pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters, we just prayed, just as the Lord Himself has taught us. We shall pause before the fifth request of this Lord's Prayer. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. We shall stop before this because this prayer stops us. Here is a sign of it's like a road sign that says a mandatory stop on our way to heaven, on the road to heaven. Just a while ago, there was a headline in a newspaper that said, with big letters, the headline read, "I will never be able to forgive. I will never be able to forgive." This is what a mother had said after a family argument when her drunken husband had driven over her daughter against her daughter and her daughter's boyfriend or friend, and the daughter died. The newspaper article said that after this event, the mother has not been capable of performing gainful employment or planning her future. The only thing that she was sure about was that she would never be able to forgive him. That's what she said in that newspaper interview. All of us here at Summer Services understand the feelings experienced by this mother. Her experience shocks and makes us pause. But another thing that makes us pause is the Lord's Prayer, which we just read. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. What does this mean? Does God's forgiveness depend on our ability to forgive people for their transgressions against us? Is God's forgiveness conditional? According to the Lord's Prayer, this is the case. We need forgiveness from both God and from our friends and relatives. These two levels of forgiveness are in some kind of relationship with each other. The Lord's Prayer is overall about obedience and God. First of all, you begin by saying, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God's will takes place in perfection in heaven. And we pray that God's will would also be fulfilled on earth as it is in heaven. The fifth request in the prayer, and forgive us our trespasses, is related with this one connecting verb, this one connecting word, when it says, and give us this day our daily bread. In the same way that we need to receive daily bread, we also need to have our sins forgiven daily. Bread and forgiveness are necessary for our survival every day. The Lord has revealed this mystery of forgiveness when He tells about a narrative of people who had a large debt. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which had taken account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon him, one was brought to him which owed him 10,000 talents. This was equal to 6,000 denars, and that was equal, one denar was equal to a day's wages. When 1,000 was equal, one talent was equal to 1,000, or confused with these terms. In any case, this was equal to 17 years of labor, and there were 10,000 of these talents. In other words, no single person would be able to earn this much money in his own lifetime, because this 10,000 talents equals 70,000 years of labor. This is a head-spinning sum. Perhaps it was the largest possible amount of sum that people had a custom of expressing. The servant probably didn't understand his situation when he asked his Lord to be patient when he paid him back. He must have not understood this because there was no way his lifetime would have been long enough to pay back this. And so the king felt compassion against his poor servant who didn't even understand what he was up against. But he loved his servant. He pardoned him. He forgave him his debt and allowed him to go. The servant left the palace with his head high because he had decided to take care of his matters alone with honor, and he thought that the king must have pardoned him because he had promised to pay him back. The servant met one of his colleagues who owed him some money that was equal to 3 months of pay, 3 months of work, 100 pence. And he thought, here's a great opportunity to get this money paid back. So he went up to his man and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, in the same way that he had just begged his Lord for patience. He says, be patient, I'll pay it back. But this servant was merciless, even though he had just been received a bailout for a giant debt. He had just been forgiven this debt. Nevertheless, he threatens his fellow servant with prison unless he pays back. The king hears about this, and he sends this servant into prison and even put him subject to tormentors. What do we learn about this? We learn two things about forgiveness from this narrative. The first thing we learn is that God forgives sins by grace. By grace alone, without our own merits and without any conditions. Forgiveness is grace alone. It is a gift. Forgiveness is a gift. Its value is equal to 10,000 talents. It is more than we could ever comprehend, not to mention how much more than we could ever pay back with our own work. But God's only Son has paid for this entire debt to God. For the sake of Christ, God forgives us all of our sins by grace. This requires faith. When we pray for our forgiveness of sins, God answers and responds in the gospel preached of the kingdom of God. We can believe our sins forgiven in Jesus' name and blood. And it is faith that we should have. We should live it out. We should internalize it so that it could guide us at every moment when we are making decisions. The servant who owed 10,000 talents didn't believe that his debt had been forgiven. Instead, he actually believed in his own performance and says, "I'll pay you back." And he didn't believe that he was being forgiven. And that is why he started to go collect his own debts as soon as it was possible when he met the debtor, his own debtor. He was short on forgiving, even though he had been forgiven a lot. He did not internalize his pardoning or gracious grace. And that's why he was merciless. There is another lesson related. The other lesson is related to how much we are indebted to one another. They are like transgressions or trespasses worth 100 pence to each other. They are small compared to that 10,000 debt of 10,000 talents. Yet these transgressions are not minor or insignificant. They're not so small that you can't feel them. Even a debt worth 3 months of labor is something that you will remember in a normal household. It's big enough. But what is one summer's wages, including holiday pay, compared to having been forgiven debt that is worth thousands of years of labor? Shouldn't we also forgive the minor debts of our fellow man when we compare it to this big debt? And nevertheless, we ponder, we calculate, and we go into these chambers of bitterness and contemplate and think about these things, and we don't remember that we have plenty to be able to, we have enough to forgive our neighbor's debt of 100 pence. In addition to forgiveness, there is another word used to describe forgiveness. To forgive, the term forgive originally meant to send away, to fall away, to reject. When the Lord encourages us to forgive, He meant to say, send this matter away from you. Release your grip on this unpleasant thing. Stop remembering it. Stop hanging on to this matter. Christians of old used to teach that we should endeavor to forgive people in advance as a foregift, which means to forgive them even before they even came to ask for forgiveness. And even if they didn't ask for forgiveness, we should give them a gift of forgiveness beforehand. So why torment yours? Why should one torment himself day and night? Why should one allow himself to be easy prey to the enemy of soul with a bitter, unforgiving heart or mind? This enemy of soul is able to attack us until we are dry. Wouldn't it be wise to release this evil from our hands and toss it into the bottomless sea of grace? This is a challenge on our journey or our endeavoring. Brothers and sisters, all in all, can we even afford to say, I will never forgive him? I think one thing would be good to remember is Joseph, the younger one, and his father, Jacob, and remember something from him. In his olden days, Jacob was a widower. His oldest son, his wife had passed away, and his children took care of him. The second youngest child was Joseph, who remained home with Benjamin, and the older brothers went off to work. And that's why they were particularly close to the father. And the brothers were jealous of Joseph. And in their jealousy, they sold him as a slave. The mercy that Joseph displayed to his brothers, there was 20 coins of silver. Then the brothers killed an animal and dipped Joseph's coat into the blood of the animal. Jacob cried over the death of his son Joseph, and he aged. And in Egypt, Joseph rose up and became a high official. He remained anonymous to his brothers when they came to look for grain. And Joseph undergoes a great struggle of whether he should exact revenge on his brothers, but he does not do this. Ultimately, he reveals himself to his brothers, and his older brothers and his father invites them to the plentiful land of Egypt. And then the death of Jacob was nigh. And before Jacob was dying, he invited his 11 children to him. And he says to Joseph, forgive your brothers. Forgive, I pray thee now, the trespasses of thy brothers brethren and their sin, for they did unto thee evil. And now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of the... And his brothers also went and fell down before his face, and they said, Behold, we be thy servants. And the brothers said, Forgive us for our trespasses. We believe in the same God that your father did. Let our father Jacob, who forgave his sons with his final strength against his children. The father had the energy to forgive his children because he lived by grace of God. Joseph broke down. The love of the father broke him. And Joseph also forgave his brothers, just as his father forgave his brothers. Dear brothers and sisters, the most important thing is that we would believe forgiven our own sins. The sin debt worth 10,000 talents by the grace of God. In Jesus' name and precious blood, forgiven. And it is equally important that we would have the strength to forgive those who have trespassed against us. Amen.